Hello there, I'm Tim and he's John, and this is How to Murder Time, a podcast about games and things.
Hello everybody.
Watcher.
There's going to be a bit of a ranty one this week, isn't it?
Is it? A little bit.
I've got some stuff to rant about.
Me too. Actually, yeah, get your ranting goggles on, everyone, because this is going to be bumpy.
Shall I go first?
Go on then, yeah.
I'm going to start with the... Actually, I'll start with one that's relatively okay.
I've had a funny week. Yeah. It's another one. It keeps happening.
I've been playing a bit of Just Cause 3.
Just Cause 3, I thought this was a brilliant game that you like lots.
I do enjoy it a lot. Okay. But I was doing the DLC, that one that when we went to Rez, we saw in the world's biggest room.
Oh, the Just Cause 3 hangar. Yeah. Yes. Strange.
It's not very good, the DLC.
Okay.
It adds this helicarrier thing up in the sky.
Oh, I saw that in the bit you were playing just before I come in. And yeah. I thought, I don't remember seeing that before. And I know they had something broadly similar in Just Cause 2. It's like hotel hanging from beneath a hot air.
It was a club.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's basically this big helicarrier which you spend a while blowing the bits off the outside using your new powered wingsuit.
Oh.
So you've effectively got a jetpack.
So you can just literally fly now.
Yeah.
You know, completing the absurdity of the grappling hook.
So you shoot everything off the side, and then you go and you have a couple of fights inside, and then you win. And it's much of a disappointment because it's very short.
Sounds
and just
like a boss fight.
Up. Sort of, yeah.
It's a structural
not quite.
Boss fight. That sort of thing that Just Cause is about? I thought Just Cause is about roaming the countryside, blowing up lots of small things.
It's mainly about blowing stuff up, using explosives to do your job for you.
Yeah, and the invariable stunt hilarity that happens en route. But does it really need to be about, here is a massive superstructure covered in red bits you need to blow off in the right order?
Well, it's not in the right order, but yeah, it just basically takes a base. This aircraft carrier is effectively two bases that make up one region, so you just have to take off all of the guns and everything.
Yeah.
And for some reason, it just feels less than when you're doing a base.
Yeah.
I think because you at that point being attacked by drones, and the drones just don't feel that meaty as an enemy.
Not much fun tying them to other things and such.
Well, like. You can tie them to each other, and they find each other and explode. But that's about it, really. It just feels a little.
Do you feel that just because presumably you've completed Just Cause 3?
Not yet, no.
No?
No, oh, okay. I've been doing other things. So I haven't
Is it assuming you're supposed to have done that?
I don't think so, because...
Why haven't you completed it? Is it that you're not really that fussed about a big narrative sort of Mass Effect-style story to follow?
It's because I haven't been sitting down and playing many hours playing any one game at the moment. Because I've been doing other things. So
I'm just wondering, is this a game that really needs or admits DLC in any useful way?
Well, DLC has always been new cars and new things and new designs for your parachute and other nonsense.
Yeah, but what I mean is the base game a complete and well-rounded enough thing that it doesn't really need any further expanding on?
Well, I think that if there'd been more to this expansion, rather than more gizmos and a tiny bit of gameplay, if there'd been more gameplay and less gizmos, perhaps that would have been better. They might have felt a bit larger rather than just feeling very, very small.
So, yeah, just a weapons pack and here's another weird sort of base
basically.
You can blow up. Yeah. Hmm. So what's... do you reckon they're going to be doing more of these?
Oh, yeah, there's two more to come.
Two more to come,
I believe.
Okay.
Which may be bigger, you never know.
It's starting to sound a bit crowded and a bit unnecessary. I don't know.
Yeah.
Sort of somewhat dubious of DLC in general, to be honest, always have been. But if it doesn't really... I don't know. It doesn't feel like another chapter.
No, not really. Mm. And, you know, it goes from having the animated cutscenes to motion comic-y cutscenes.
Oh, right.
So stills that are slightly animated.
Presumably much cheaper and easier to put together.
Yeah, much easier and cheaper to put together.
I guess the DLC gets given to the B team.
A lot of the main games seem to be given to the B team too. Some of those missions were definitely designed by people who did not understand what Just Cause was.
Mm. I can't remember what you said about it. I know we've covered the main game before on the show. Did you come up with the impression that it was better or worse than 2?
I think it's
or is it not even a comparison that can be made?
I'm not sure. It's not different enough from 2 to really make that much of a comparison.
Oh, so it's very, very much more, literally more of the same, which we thought was good. We thought was a good idea, but...
Yeah, it just, you know, it didn't grab me in the same way. And I'm still playing through, and I'm doing the odd mission and liberating stuff.
I'm still playing 2.
Well, yeah.
I played 2 first on the Xbox or whatever, and I recently bought it in a sale on Steam for the PC. So I'm playing, it's basically reset my 99.98% completion clock back to about 35 or something.
I still don't know how you manage that, because I believe you can only get 99.4
on the
Xbox. It
was just a lot of diligence, you know, hard work, blowing up everything. But... Yeah, I'm really enjoying it, and I just haven't really seen the need to go out and get 3 yet.
Yeah, well, that's the thing.
I'm saving 3, I suppose.
Just in the same way you're playing 2, where yes. you'll just dive in and do a little bit of it.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's how I'm playing 3. So it's going to last me forever.
Complete the story. It's a relatively short story. If you really push at it, it can be done in 10 hours with reasonable skills. But, you know, the blow up everything and push that mercenary mode completion bar as high as possible thing, that can last for years. And,
yeah.
and it is always fresh and always novel. I mean, yeah, provided obviously you don't do like huge 5-hour sessions every night of a week or something. It is a perfect drop-in game. The action and the set pieces all come in a very, I don't know if it's a deliberate thing or just accidental, but they seem to come in a very, very agreeably timed and paced yeah. manner. You can chain together little sort of 6-7 minute adventures for as long as you like, as long as you want to go. And then in between those, you've got just travelling around the island, and it's a very good engine, a very great looking place, and quite soothing and relaxing as well.
Yeah, but 3 doesn't have a lot of that because it's got rid of that massive completion percentage.
Okay.
So it's
much more of a structured
rails
thing. Yeah,
so it feels a lot smaller. You just have some collectibles.
Yeah.
And once you liberate an entire region, those get marked on the map, so you just go there, pick them up.
Yeah, so there's no real need to spend long periods of time grubbing around the mid game, exploring it at your own pace.
I'm still going to be going back to Just Cause 2 for that whole
once
you just go do stuff.
So I wonder why they did that then, because that was really the enduring sort of appeal of 2 for me, is just the detail and expansiveness of the sandbox. You know, you really can just go off and do your own thing and keep finding interesting little corners and, you know, all sorts of strange things to do and stuff. All the boxes with the Wi-Fi strength indicator thing. And a lot of those are in some really obscure places that really do encourage you to just wander the island. And no, you don't get a big map. Here are all the dots. Some of the faction items you picked up in 2, they'd appear on a map, and yeah, you could go around and harvest those in a relatively mechanical manner, but to get the full percentage, you've got to find all the little power-up crates and stuff, and they're just everywhere, and some really unlikely places as well. So that really sort of gives you the reason to inhabit the world, really get in there, learn the landscape and the ways of getting around and so on. Whereas it sounds like 3's more of a whistle stop, go here, done sort of thing.
Yeah.
And no real reason to go back or explore in any depth, I suppose.
Hmm. Yeah, I think so.
And I guess the DLC is not going to improve on that particularly.
No, it's not going to fix the fundamental problems.
Yeah.
Which is a shame, because it's still a good game, it's just not as good as 2.
Yeah, yeah.
Which is a real shame.
Yeah, it's a shame.
Yeah. So, do you want to talk about your game?
Yeah, I mean, you got the one to talk about. Well, basically, I've been playing Minecraft all week again.
What are you doing to the server?
Regrowth. I've been rewiring the mana pools and such.
Remember, they haven't seen half of these.
I know, yeah, exactly. There's some spoilers there for you. I'm investigating the idea of different types of sparks to shunt the mana around, because now I'm generating mana in a rather industrial and cataclysmic fashion now, so I need to get it shifted quickly or it backs up and probably will like just blow the whole place up.
Incidentally, my brain just went through a weird thing.
Yeah.
Oh dear, where am I going to get footage of regrowth from?
I wonder. Yeah,
yeah. Yeah,
I'll have to scour the internet. Clearly,
yeah. Not the hundreds of hours
hundreds
I've got sitting
hours,
on my hard drive.
Hundreds. Yeah, yeah. Also, I've built a little rowing boat and thing, and I've gone exploring with the Atlas.
Okay.
So I'm building it, and you know, you can make map frames.
Yeah.
And you can copy individual pages of map.
Yeah.
So I'm building a big wall map of the actual place we're in. I've actually started to do the Columbus thing, because, you know, I mean, we've done what? How many hundred episodes or something stupid like that?
Well, we're
dozens of 30-ish. Episodes. Most of that's taken place within about 200 metres of the spawn point.
Yeah, it has, yeah.
So I've decided to push out and explore a bit, and I'm building up a massive map on the wall of one of those towers I built.
Just out of interest, are you recording... They don't know about the towers, probably.
No.
Are you recording where you're finding oil?
No.
Okay, no. Just checking.
It doesn't seem to appear on the maps, the atlases or anything. Those update in real time, the ones on the wall as well, because you're making a copy of the map, and that map will always update if the original is updated as well. So that's quite clever. I don't have to keep coming back and putting new maps on the wall. It's the one on the wall's updating at the same time, which is neat. Yeah, so, you know, just really getting into that. I built a jungle. It's a very small jungle. It's like 3 trees. I got work on that.
Yeah, you really do.
Yes. So, you know, I'm just...
And we're nearly done with seeds.
You think. That's a whole load more appeared in the book the other day. I just dropped to my knees, raised a fist.
Were they
the
ones we found in the episode, or did you find some extras?
I think it might be the ones we saw.
Oh, that's fine. There's only a couple.
But, yes. Different ways to make those. So, yeah. Anyway. So So, yeah, Minecraft Regrowth. I mean, obviously, you can find out more, lots more about that on our other show. But I find that I'm being interested enough in that to be playing in my spare time as well, rather than just doing stuff and recording for the show. So, and that's, I suppose, leading to lots of sudden jumps each week when suddenly the horizon's much greener about 4 miles away.
Oh, that's fine. The greening of the horizon, the hard way, not the way that it's designed in for you, is fine.
I'm trying not to do the interesting stuff that's in the books, because the quest book tends to become the content.
Well, we are doing some, because there's a lot of them really dull ones.
Some of them are a bit repetitive, yeah. I've done all of the spawn eggs now. I've put them all in a box. I'm going to throw them all at you at once, and then that's going to be crazy, because there's all sorts of terrifying monsters in there. I've never even seen a silverfish ever.
They're little tiny. They look like cybermats.
No, never encountered one.
Okay.
Even vanilla, any mod server, anything. I've got an egg that does one, so I'll probably just throw that at you next time you're boring me with some inventory management. Yeah, so the trouble is that's then eaten into my playing other games type stuff, which is me doing a terrible disservice to you, dear listener. But, you know, this stuff comes and goes. So we've been doing the Friday thing. Which has been every other Friday. We've been sort of experimenting with some LAN games, some sort of small-scale co-op stuff instead of, yeah, let's just go into another free-to-play MMO with the usual problems and so on. We've still got Rift on the go anyway, and that's. I mean, a lot of people have put a lot of work in there, so we've got to the top, and we're doing some of the sort of 60 to 65 content, possibly even raiding at 65. That's going to be interesting, trying our first level 65 raid. I imagine we're just going to get utterly trounced in that one, because gear progression, it's all about having done the you've got to do this, then go here, and spend all these tokens to get this stuff, and eventually a series of arbitrary numbers will be high enough for you to survive in this latest content, and that's basically what MMO endgame is. Still haven't given up on there though, so, you know, keep going. But no, this week we were playing Rocket League, which wasn't strictly the next thing in the list, but I thought the next thing in the list was Dawn of War 1, which I might have some technical issues get going, but also quite similar to the previous week, which was Civilization 5. So I thought we'd perhaps mix it up a bit with something a bit different. So we got Rocket League, which you'd recommended and was on the list a bit further down.
Yet again, I was busy. I was off watching Civil War.
Yeah, so you sort of keep missing the games that you suggest.
Yeah.
So I don't know. So Rocket League, then, I don't know if anyone's heard of it or whatever.
Everyone's heard of it.
Well,
yeah.
Let's just skip to the end credits then,
shall we? No. You can say what you think of
it. I'm going to talk about it anyway. So Rocket League is a game, essentially five-a-side football in very small but very powerful remote-controlled cars with an enormous football in an enclosed stadium. I've heard it likened to what they do on Top Gear a lot, with chasing giant footballs around and with cars on
the pitch.
There
was actually a mode in one of the Forzas which does that.
Okay. This is a lot more dedicated to that. This isn't just, you know, a bunch of hatchback cars in a large space chasing a giant beach ball around. This is like designed around the whole concept. You got a goal in each end. You got, I think the largest match we had was four players on each side. I don't know if it goes higher than that or not, but all three players a side seem to work quite well. You can add in AI bots as well on each side to make up numbers and so on.
Oh, do they keep showing you up?
Yes. They have varying levels of AI, and Rookie was running rings around us, quite literally in some cases. Your car can do a number of stunts. I had a quick go. I downloaded it obviously in preparation for the Friday. I had a quick go at some of the tutorial stuff it has for you, and I got the basics fine. You can drive around obviously like normal. It's sort of handled. It's very much an arcadey sort of racing driving model there, a bit like Burnout Paradise, that kind of thing. But also the car can jump when you push the A button. It just bounces up. You can double jump, so if you jump again when you're midair, you go up a bit more. If you hold the stick left and double tap A, your car does a sort of flippy barrel roll. It will actually just leap and roll sideways and come down next to itself.
That's much like cars in real life.
You can flip end over end, forward and backward in a similar manner as well. If you're in the air, so you've got this boost tank, which you charge up by driving over these little orange thingies. And if you've got any power, any fuel in there, you can push the B button to do a bit of a rocket charge. Literally plumes of smoke come out the back of the car and you get basically an afterburner. And then you can also use that while you're in the air. So if you jump and then hit the rockets, the car will power away in the direction it's facing, literally acting as a rocket for the duration of its fuel. And some of the tutorial, I mean, there's a whole tutorial section called Aerial, where it makes you try and knock stationary balls that are hanging in midair into the goal. And I was just all over the place with those. I got reasonable numbers on some of that, but it's a far cry to taking what are essentially unopposed penalties compared to a charging around in an actual football match. So, yeah, so I had a good go at that. I thought, all right, that's probably all right, and didn't actually play again until Friday. Yeah, so having played, like two games, I was finding it very difficult. So we got four a side sometimes, and a variety of different arenas. We tried different game modes, which it had as well. There's, you can do all sorts of things with... Oh, there's a basketball mode. I think that's very recent.
That was added last week, yeah.
Yeah, had a go at that, where instead of trying to knock a ball through a sort of a rectangular goal, like football, you're actually trying to land the ball inside a floating horizontal ring, a basketball net, but a very large basketball net, it has to be said. You might see some footage of that. There's a mode where you can set the arena to be an ice rink and use an ice hockey puck instead of a ball. We had a lot of trouble with that. The puck would just keep going, because the thing is, with the arena, you don't have any edges. It's a curved wall that then goes straight
up. Yeah, you could do some really fancy going up there, jumping off
the
ball.
And what I noticed is you do not fall off the side wall ever. If you then go up to the top of the side and it curves around onto the ceiling, once you're on the ceiling, you'll just drop back down again. But so you can go round and round the side continually forever if you like. But yes, the problem with that is then if the puck, which essentially is a flat disc, hits the side of that, it will go up and start flopping over. And basically it starts rolling and bouncing around just and acting like a ball. So we weren't really getting a very ice hockey experience there at all. I just don't think that works that well. You can adjust the weight of the ball, the bounciness of it, the size of it and so on. So there was various, we tried different modes of that. We had one match where the thing was basically the size of a tennis ball and had full bounce on, and that was just horrendous. No, I mean, no one could hit the damn thing. We tried with the ball as large as possible, and everyone except me could hit the thing then. I was really, really bad, and I got quite cross and quite disappointed with it all. I don't know. I mean, part of it is probably just me being a sore loser. Dace tweeted something. He's playing as well, and he seemed to get the gist of it. And basically, I totally agree with the sentiment. Is that he thinks it's a really good game, that he just doesn't like it.
Yeah,
it's not for him. And I think that's pretty much my, at an intellectual level, I can totally see that this is a very clever, very well designed and fun game, but not. I wasn't having fun, and I wasn't any good at it, and I didn't like it, and that's fine. I think. If we, laughingly calling myself a critic, perhaps I just think part of any kind of connoisseur appreciation of gaming is understanding that different people like different things. So I'm not going to call it a bad game, and yeah, it sounds like a rant. I could see it absolutely requires a lot of practice. It's a game you would rightly expect to get better at the more you play.
Well, you could do reasonably well.
I tried three or four games, I suppose, over the evening, and was still not. I just keep coming on the scoreboard as 0 points. I mean, midway through the evening, I discovered that you get some points for destroying enemies. Opponents.
Yeah.
Yes, not enemies.
You start doing other stuff as well. You start doing saves and things like
Well, not really. I mean, the game we were playing was very much likened to a 10-year-old game, 10-year-olds playing football at school, which is essentially all 22 players just charging in a cometary tail around the ball constantly, and nobody staying in any particular position. I know a little bit about football. You have people who stand near the back and people who stand near the front, and you don't all just follow the ball running constantly, because that just ends up with, I don't know, stuff going wrong or not good football. But so positions, strikers, defence, midfield, all that sort of thing. And yeah, you could sort of do that in this. I mean, this is probably a lot more like five-a-side football than proper football, because much fewer participants, clearly. But yeah, having a goalie, having people hang back, and I tried experimenting with some of these roles, but the basic problem I had is that I couldn't hit this sodding ball with the sodding car, So the ball is, by default, the ball is about 3 or 4 times the height of your vehicle. So if you just drive straight at the ball to shunt it, as you'd expect, you end up chipping underneath it and lifting it up, and it goes everywhere. So to be able to aim, to be able to kick a ball correctly in a direction that you want it to go, you typically have to apply your foot to the back of the ball, drawing at the point that draws a line through the centre.
Much like in, say, football.
Or billiards, or tennis, or snooker.
Or golf. I believe it's the entirety of golf, that one thing.
Any game where you have to move a spherical object with an impulse of force, you aim that spherical object by hitting it at the back of the object in the centre and drawing a line through the spherical object in the direction you want the spherical object to go. So practically speaking, this means that in a game of Rocket League, you have to jump and come and hit the centre of the ball, which you can't do if you just drive your car at the ball. No. I mean, if the ball was about the size of the cars, then you wouldn't need to do any of this, and it would be a game about driving. But what it actually turns into is a game about stunt aerobatics, because you get almost nowhere hitting the ball at ground level. To do any kind of specific aiming or driving it through the goal or putting it in the right area or even, pass, God forbid, passing it to another player, you need to jump up and hit it in the middle.
Yeah.
And at the right angle and everything. And I was just so bad at aiming this airborne car at the ball. I mean, you know, perhaps 50% of the time I actually hit the damn thing, and then those, and perhaps sort of 90% of those 50% I just skied it in some random direction. I just had an utter sense of impotence, an utter sense of an utter disconnect between my actions with the controller and what was going on the screen, you know? And that, I think, was probably the... Yeah, if I'm trying to, you know, deeply analyse my mindset and objections to the game and why I don't like it, it is literally just my utter incapacity to make my hands... You know, use my hands to make a thing on the screen do the thing I want it to do. And I honestly can't remember the last computer game that ever happened to me. Part of this Friday thing, for me, is a kind of sort of Renaissance gamer type of thing. It's me sort of the firm belief that having played enough games of various types, I could probably turn my hand to anything. And as I'm learning, no, I can't. I don't play FIFAs. I don't play any of the normal proper sports ball type games that are there for the consoles or PC or whatever. There's a large number of those sorts of games out there, and they all have different control systems and different mechanisms to try and replicate what's essentially a full body physical experience in three-dimensional space. And this car thing is nothing like driving. It's nothing like any kind of physical activity I've ever played. It just... I just found myself utterly not understanding the language of control and kinetics involved, which was really odd and really, really, I don't know, not, well, infuriating, I suppose, but unsettling as well. So it just made me think that I didn't previously believe that there's a whole subset of computer games out there that I am just absolutely incapable at. And I suppose I could learn. I suppose
it's,
you know,
just a practice thing.
Well,
surely.
Yeah, but do I want to? I just found the whole experience. I mean, you know, I was trying to put a brave face on it, and, you know, trying to enjoy the enjoyment of the others. And yeah, you know, pretty much everyone else playing it was having various amounts of good time. But there was a lot of resigned humour about it all. There was a lot of people realising that they were rubbish, but just enjoying how rubbish it all was and how bonkers anyway. You know, and yeah, only a few people taking it seriously. Only a few people, you know, trying to play skillfully and doing well, and you can see from the video there's various names and things on there, but I don't know, my first sort of couple of games that were so off-putting that I just don't want to put in the effort and time and energy. Remember, this experience is competing with a whole raft of more
Minecraft.
Well, it's competing with Minecraft, yeah, basically. But no, there's a whole load of other games that I would just much rather be playing. So I'm going to go and play those.
So
that's the age we live in.
Do you think that
first world problems, you know?
Are you completely done then with competitive multiplayer games or comparison multiplayer games?
No. This has nothing to do with that. That's a different issue, and perhaps one I might come back to. Because yes, I think I've got problems with that as well. I don't like competing against my friends. And I don't know why that is, but that bears a lot more examination, I expect. But no, this was very much about the specific activity, the sport. I mean, you know, I imagine I probably wouldn't get much out of a game of, you know, FIFA, whatever, or some sort of five-a-side computer game. I expect there's lots out there. None of them seem to have been suggested for the list. So I don't know. And yeah, it's just this game. I just don't like it. And yet I can see, you know, at an objective level, it's very clever, very well put together, very polished and slick, and absolutely nails what it is trying to present. But whether that game itself is for you is a different matter. You need to try it a bit, I guess. Try it before you buy it.
Well,
how do you do that, even the 2 hour Steam refund thing, I guess? But
yeah,
I came into it thinking, yeah, I quite like Burnout Paradise. This will be a giggle. No, and it was really utterly unlike Burnout Paradise.
That's because it's not Burnout Paradise.
I wanted
Paradise.
To just go off. Yeah, I mean, I spent the sort of last third of the whole session just charging up, overcharging my boost and trying to... If you hit someone going at full speed with boost, you destroy them. It's like a foul, bad tackle, whatever. It doesn't, you know, penalise you or anything. It's a strategy. And I just spent most of the rest of it just trying to go around blowing people up. Because I was missing burnout in a way. You know, it seemed to promise... I can imagine this engine and this company and this team building a really good demolition derby game, and I'd love that.
But you're looking at the
introduction of a football and goals.
What you want is a combat fighty type of game, yeah, rather than a competition.
I think I'd enjoy
type
that more.
Game.
Yeah, Burnout Paradise, Mark Mann mode or something. You know, everyone enjoyed Burnout Paradise when we did that on the Friday, and I'd rather be playing that than this. And particularly because you're getting a lot of the same sorts of cues. It's a car in a similar sort of over the back of the camera look.
That's hardly unique, though. That's a cue to all third-person driving games.
But to me, it seemed like a weird DLC mode for Burnout Paradise that I just wasn't getting the hang of enjoying.
But that's mainly because I think Burnout Paradise has completely skewed your view of cars.
That's driving games for me. Yeah. That's the only driving game I really like or play at all. So yeah.
Yeah.
So, but no, it's a fantastic game. But whether you like it or not depends if you can get behind the basic core mechanic of it, which is trying to do stunt jumps with a remote control car into a football, with the hope of pushing that football through a goal at the far end of a little arena. So it's quite limited and very specific in what it's trying to offer, and presumably offers it well. I just don't want it.
No, I find the game immensely enjoyable.
Well, good. You can have my spot on there next time it's played.
Yeah. You know,
to be honest, I get towards the end of the evening, we got about three quarters away, and I just dropped to spectate mode in the end because I just couldn't keep putting myself through it, you know?
I think it's supposed to be a game which works a lot better with random matchmaking.
Random internet people?
Yeah.
Oh my god, that would be even worse.
Why?
They'd be swearing at me and being abusive for having 0 points and not contributing.
No, you're not getting the swearing and being abusive because no one's on voice.
I haven't been online myself, but a couple of the Fridayers had put up with a bit of a verbal pasting online when they tried a few.
Are they probably using a console version?
I don't know.
But you just turn that off.
No, because no one on a PC abuses other PC gamers. No, that just isn't in the code.
Well, no. Also, no one's bothered to use the in-game voice in any games.
Well, yeah. No, I think random pickups with internet strangers would compound the issues
I've played it a lot on PC and PS4 because it was a PlayStation Plus game last year sometime.
You're, presumably you're quite good at it. Presumably you can hit the ball and make it go where you want.
No, I'm terrible at it, but it's still immense fun to play.
It was just winding me up, something chronic, and I don't want to put myself through that again. So yeah. I'm going to say it's a fantastic game. Please, somebody else buy it and play it.
Yeah, fair enough.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So there we go. So Rocket League, good at what it does.
Okay, I'm going to talk about a driving game.
All right.
This is a driving game where you drive along, bash into people and blow them up.
Oh, Burnout Paradise, hurrah.
No.
Oh.
It's the Carmageddon Reincarnation. Because
We saw that at the EGX thing.
Well, we saw the
some of it
one again. Beyond that. But I was playing a bunch of Carmageddon because... we saw it at EGX and I thought, yeah, I should probably play this. And so played it for a while. Yeah. And I've still got issues with this game.
Yeah.
One, it does look rather rubbish.
Was what we saw the release version?
Yeah.
Does it actually?
It's been out for a while, yeah.
Because
that's the new console version.
I don't know a lot about this kind of technologies and stuff, but it looked to me like the shaders were rubbish.
Yeah,
everything was really flat and grey and wasn't really lit well.
The game does look awful. Yeah. I will give it that. But... beyond that, they have
not that superficial though. So
yeah. Mm. Beyond that, they have recreated the original Carmageddon almost perfectly.
This is a 20, 30 year old game. Something. When's Carmageddon come out?
97-ish.
Yeah, yeah. So I'm thinking that recreating and spiritually successing games like that, it becomes a bit risky because. Well, for starters, the crappy graphics of the ye olden days are very much a core part of the aesthetic. And how far do you go in recreating how primitive it looks?
You don't go as far as Carmageddon because you go back to the original Carmageddon when it was a sprite-based game.
Yes.
Which, you know, this isn't.
Yeah.
But...
which means you're imposing your own artistic direction on it as well, which means you start to get away from the core look and feel.
But that doesn't matter.
So how much homage are you playing?
Well, that doesn't matter at that point, I don't think. Because, you know, it's got the same design of the cars, which
is fine. But going back to mid-90s... game design was very different back then.
That is the problem, because it still has the mid-90s game design, which makes the game quite dull. Because if you remember Carmageddon, you could win a race in multiple ways.
Yeah.
You could destroy everyone else.
Yeah.
You could kill all of the pedestrians.
Yeah.
Or, if you're a lunatic, you could do all the laps.
Okay.
And come in first.
Yeah.
And so it's so much easier to just win through other means and completing the race, except if the AI is deciding to fight each other, then you just yomp off ahead and get to the end no problem, because the AI is busy crashing each other. So, and you just have two AIs bashing against head to head in a corner somewhere, which means you can always win.
Well, would you prefer that to the sort of kind of behind the scenes cheatery that goes on in a lot of modern races where, you know, you get rubber banding to let people behind catch up, and
you had that in the old games
all the other AIs sort of conspire to work against you specifically and not fight each other, that kind of thing.
Because
a racing game is essentially about you,
it's just the fact that because there's multiple ways to complete a race, you just pick the one that the others aren't doing, and then you're always going to stand a much better chance.
Fair enough. Sounds like you found a winning strategy.
Yeah, which makes it slightly dull. Yeah. And also, something about the driving doesn't feel right either, which means that is slightly dull as well.
Mm.
So, you know, it doesn't feel quite as kinetic as it should do. It feels like it used to, but it doesn't feel right. It doesn't have that slamminess that something like Burnout or Rocket League has, where, you know, when cars hit each other, you really feel like they've hit each other.
Yeah.
But this doesn't quite. So, I think a lot of it is, it's not a particularly good version of the old game. There's a lot that could be made better, and you know, the graphics could look a lot better. The handling, the driving model could be a lot better. The physics could be a lot better. The game modes could be a lot better.
But yeah.
They just aren't. And I don't know whether or not
a sort of half-assed attempt to recreate something that wasn't perfect to begin with.
Yeah, I think that the core game, there is a fantastic, brilliant thing you could do with bringing Carmageddon up to date. It's just they've only sort of brought it sort of up to date, and not all the way.
Lack of ambition.
They may have brought it up to sort of 2005 up to date rather than 2016 up to date.
Ah, right, good.
Which is a shame, but.
Is it a small team? Is it an indie thing?
It's the same team as before. The guys in the Isle of Wight who did the first two.
All right.
It's odd. It should be better than it is. It should play better than it does, but it doesn't. And I don't quite get what they've missed, which is weird.
It's hard to put your finger on.
Yeah. So I play it for a bit and then lose interest because it just can't.
Well, you are a connoisseur. You do play a lot of racing games of varying formats and styles.
Yeah.
And you're not seeing this shining in any particular
area? No, it's not.
You'd go to other games for it's almost not every aspect of
it. If it didn't have Carmageddon on it, it would be forgettable.
Mm.
And because it has Carmageddon written on it, it's sort of memorable.
So what should we be playing for that kind of experience now? The Mad Max?
Burnout Paradise is a different thing. Mm. Mad Max is a completely different thing.
Well, yeah, but what?
I don't know. I don't think there is a game which really does what Carmageddon did, except the new Carmageddon.
And it
just doesn't do it very well.
Yeah.
Which, yeah, it's weird and a shame.
Hmm. Okay.
Yeah, so that's all I've got to say about that. It's not really worth it.
Hmm. Right, well, I'm out of stuff to talk about.
Okay, I'm going to talk briefly about The Vanishing of Ethan Carter VR.
Oh yes. You got your like cyberspace rig still.
Yeah. Vanishing of
In general, how are you doing with that anyway?
We'll talk about that a bit.
Okay.
Vanishing of Ethan Carter VR is the VR version of Vanishing of Ethan Carter.
I don't know
what
any of this is. What does VR mean?
You know exactly what VR means. I'm going to whack you around the side of the head with this rift in a minute. Vanishing of Ethan Carter was a walking sim from a couple of years ago where you're wandering around this very lavishly done town trying to figure out what was going on. One of the better ones plot-wise from the having stuff to do. One of the worst ones plot-wise from the quality of the writing. The game was just a bit awful. And had puzzles and things which are all so simplistic and whatever. But they've added a VR mode, and so I thought, I'm going to play the VR mode.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You'd be a fool not to, really. You got the gear.
It's got this bizarre decision where you move...
Mm-hmm.
Using the controller, you move normally like you would with the sticks and the look around with the sticks. Or
you look around with the sticks?
You can't look around the sticks in the VR mode. You look in a direction and then push forwards, you move in that direction. So you're turning using the...
okay.
So, and yeah,
does
and
that work?
No, not at all.
Right.
It just feels wrong, and you feel nauseous almost immediately because they've broken the fundamental rule, and this is happening an awful lot, of you do not move somebody's head without them saying they want to move their head.
Yeah. The basic problem is that it is a screen, not a controller.
Yeah. Yeah. And people, when they use it as a controller, you look 45 degrees to the right and push forwards, you suddenly feel like your body is still pointing forwards because you know your body is
pointing
forwards.
Quite disorienting, yeah.
Yeah, and a lot of games are doing this. And I think it's...
They're just not understanding what the medium, I suppose.
I think it's something to do with the Vive. On the Vive, that seems to work a lot better, I think, because people aren't complaining as much. But when you get onto the Rift and do it, it really doesn't because you're sitting down. If you're standing up, that may work, I think, maybe, but probably not.
I don't know. It sounds like you're going to be continually pushing the reset my viewpoint to forwards button or whatever.
Yeah, which is even worse.
Yeah.
Because you're just completely confusing yourself at that point.
Yeah.
Just so many of the... I'm just getting so disillusioned with the quality of VR games. There are some good ones, but just so much utter drivel who don't understand the basics. It's like they never put a headset on in their life and made a game.
Yeah. Well, yeah, no, it's a misunderstanding of what the paradigm is. Effectively, what a Rift is a 360-degree screen that exists around your head. And obviously, because we are, mammals with two forward-facing eyes, we can't see our entire surroundings at once. So the direction we look in is the part of the 360-degree screen, the globe around you, that you see at any given time. And that's the only thing you want the Rift to be doing. You need to leave the rest of it in your hands. Or, presumably some giant trackball thing will walk on one day or whatever. Whatever mechanism you do to do that. I don't know, motion sensing, a glove with like radial sensors or whatever, but you don't do it with the headset because that's like, a functional equivalent of the world's literally spinning around you. When
something
you're
like
looking
a Drift worked really well because you had this outline of the helmet around your face in space, and you were controlling yourself with a jetpack, so you knew where your body was moving and you were rotating and were happy there.
Yeah.
But you always knew that you looked right. You would still be moving in the direction your body was facing.
Yeah. You can't get away with... this is why standard first-person shooters are going to be a real problem without some really clever conversion for the Rift or whatever, because that's the whole... Your eyes are locked, attached to the gun thing, isn't it?
Yeah.
Which, a head gun. It's just functionally what that would translate to in the real world. So, yeah, it's just a whole new system. You're basically detaching the camera from the control viewpoint and then using the Rift to control where the camera's looking. You shouldn't be controlling it through the Rift.
Yeah.
That's weird.
And my other little rant about VR this week is The Climb, which is a fantastic-looking game where you basically climbing up a mountain.
Oh, yeah.
You do it by looking at the next handhold and pushing a button, and then you grab it.
Yeah.
So, it's not particularly over... strenuous on the old controller thing.
Yeah.
And lovely sense of...
Sounds like it might work.
Vertigo, apparently, but it's $50. For a game you... And like most VR games, it seems, you're only going to play it for a couple of minutes.
How much does an Oculus Rift dev kit cost?
A couple of hundred.
Oh, okay. So I was just thinking that perhaps they've sunk massive capital into developing.
No,
what it is
all
have
these,
to repay it somehow.
All these companies know there's only a couple of games out on VR, both for the Rift and the Vive.
Maybe they reason that if you can afford a Rift, you're not going to bulk at 50 quid a game.
They're putting these out expensively to start with because people are going to buy them because there's nothing else to buy.
What else are you going to do with it?
Yeah, and so
stare at the dinosaur lots.
And I think it's strangling innovation. There's no demo for these games.
Mm.
So you don't know if they work well, if they're going to make you throw up before you buy them.
Well, there's no demo for the whole platforms. The bigger problem, I think. No one's going to spring for however many hundred quid that thing is without being able to have a go at one.
No, it's not. It's worse if you've already got it because you don't know whether or not you are going to like a game when you buy it. And so you start up the
shop front.
That's
true of all games, really.
No, it's way worse.
Given Rocket League
a
bit of a go
first,
perhaps might have thought against it.
No, it's way worse than that because you're going to throw up.
Rocket League never had
it's
the,
gonna make
the
you
opportunity
physically
to make me
ill. If some games will make you physically ill because they're badly designed. And there's no way of finding out about this because there's no way of telling you. And there's no demos. And so they're asking $50 for
something. That's definitely a new use case, isn't it? It's not something I'd have really considered in traditional QA. Does the game make people physically ill?
Well, no. First-person shooters do. Some people get motion sickness.
Yes. No, I take that all back. It's never happened to me, and perhaps that's shortened and blinkered my view on it all a bit. But yes, a lot of people do. Some people do get motion sickness from just normal.
There is a noticeable percentage of people for that. There is a much larger percentage of people in VR if the games are design bound, and you've got no way of telling apart from user reviews. And the user reviews are all awful because they're user reviews.
Well, the user reviews are also useless because you don't have the reviewer's physiology or inner ear or whatever it is that triggers this stuff. That is something that no one can tell you if you're going to feel or not without you trying the thing. So you've got a spring for the Rift. You've got a spring £50 a go for, you know, what, a 2 minute game that's actually just a tech demo or something, and to find out that it's going to make you barf your cookies at the first go.
And the other, the mode,
this is not selling itself as a paradigm
is
not. I'm not rushing out to get one of my own.
The VR companies are doing everything they can in their power to screw this up at the moment.
I just think it's all been driven off of Elite Dangerous and perhaps one or two other very specific use cases that have been sort of indulged by some folks with quite a lot of disposable money in a Kickstart fashion. And that was all it was ever going to be. Well, no, this is an interesting little experiment. Does anyone want to bung a couple of quid so we can try it?
The simulation games still all work perfectly fine. It's everything else. And just
The everything else is trying to upsell the system, isn't it? I mean, Oculus are not going to make a lot of money by with a customer base that consists of about 30% subset of the player base of Elite Dangerous only. They've got to flog it to as many people as possible. That's what sales is. That's how you make your money. But it sounds like it's been pushed in directions and avenues that are just totally unsuitable. And this is where a lot of this is coming from. It's sort of we've got to sell it. We've got to try and push it on as many people as we like. When actually a vanishingly small subset of consumers want or need this thing, really.
Yeah.
And they're the ones that are mostly playing Elite Dangerous, perhaps Star Citizen, whatever. You know, there's very...
Well, no, it's stuff like Euro Truck Simulator as well. Yeah, that's a big one
we've
for
We've already
it.
Talked about the extremely narrow user base for this kind of thing.
I mean, play Eve Valkyrie for about 20 seconds before you run out of game.
Have you managed to get that working?
Yeah.
You did in the end. Oh, we need to do a review for that then, because when we were talking about it last time, code hadn't worked.
Well, no, see, there's the other problem with... Well, my code worked fine. It was the fact that... had to set up a completely new account because CCP.
Mm. You've done that and you got it in there.
Yeah, there was a problem with this. Okay, massive problem with VR games first.
Yes.
The footage for Eve Valkyrie...
Yeah.
You can't record good footage from a VR game.
No, because it's all weirdly distorted and warped.
No, not
the
even that. They're not running in full screen, so they can do it. So you just get this postage size piece of rubbish.
Because it's quite a low res screen.
It's a really high res, but it puts a version on the screen which isn't that, and puts it in a window which it doesn't let you maximise, except on some games.
Not
and
make some kind of mannequin head dummy with two webcams for eyes, and then just put it on.
Possibly.
That'd be a way.
Well, then you wouldn't be able to play, would you? Mm. Yeah, no, it's just the use case for demonstrating VR games on a podcast like this or on a YouTube channel is vanishingly small because nobody's thought about it.
Yeah.
And it's purely down to the way that it's presented on the second screen.
There might
on your
be
monitor.
Some Valkyrie footage under this that we're talking.
Yeah.
It's almost certainly not what he's seeing inside the goggles. So use is it?
Well, no, Valkyrie, it does the two-eye thing. It's completely useless for showing the damn thing off. If you want
no one can tell you or show you. You've got to do it yourself. Yeah. And the only way you get to do it yourself is...
If somebody
you know what I reckon, so loads of people I think went to EGX purely to have a go on a Rift.
Yeah, well, it was mainly the Vive.
Well, Vives and the Steam thing was there. Was
Vive
it?
Is the Steam thing.
Yeah, Vive is the Steam thing. What's the other one I keep thinking of then?
Samsung VR.
Yes, whatever. But yeah, no one gave a toss about wanting to sort fruit, the alien fruit sorting simulator, or the picking up little tiny criminals and throwing them across a Lilliput town thing. No one cared about any of that. There was sideways scrolling 2D-esque wrestling games that people were using headsets for, and the only reason a load of people were queuing for these rubbish games was just because it's the only chance they're likely
that's
to
a good game
it's
just terrible in VR.
The only chance they're likely to get to have a go on a Rift without spending the vast amounts of money. It's it's the demonstration of it all, because it's a technology that can't, you can't just watch a TV show or some YouTube, or you know, even just stare at it in PC. Well, no, you've got to use it,
but you can still get some impressions of it if they just sorted that act out on the PC side. If the apps were running full screen, only showing one of the eyes for all of them, then people watching you play would be able to see what's going on. But no, it ends up on a window which is resized off the side of the window because the resolution's wrong, and it shows the two different eyes.
It's almost like a cult. It has this air of internal secrecy. No one can tell it, no one can tell you what it's like. You have to experience it yourself, you know. And, yeah, you can't really make any kind of accurate value judgment about it all until you're well invested into it. And then you're going to feel a bit stupid if you've gone and bought it all and decide, actually, I don't like it.
Well, my advice to everyone at the moment is do not touch VR.
Well, that's got to be the sensible default advice, is because there is no way for you personally, dear listener, to work out ahead of time if you're going to like it or not, or it's going to make you throw up, or it's going to be rubbish. Don't bother. Don't buy it. Because you can't make a rational judgment any other way.
Yeah, do not buy these things sight unseen.
Yeah.
I mean, I knew I wasn't going to throw up because I'd used the Rift before.
Yeah.
But if you're buying them without having ever touched them, you stand a massive chance that you are not going to be able to use it.
Quite an unlikely impersonal chain of events that led you to the point where you decided, yes, I'm going to buy one.
Yeah.
It involved, like, work colleagues or something. Yeah, or, it was a friend of a friend.
Yeah.
And
me knowing somebody
who had someone else, and there was this and that. And, you know, that sort of quite uncommon series of events got you to the place where you could have a go.
Yeah.
And that's just not available for everyone at all.
No, and it's Sony the ones who are going to sort this out, because they'll end up putting things in game and stuff, but they're going to break. I guarantee that they're going to be too fragile to survive long with lots and lots of kids trying them on constantly.
Oh, God, yeah. You've got one in game or whatever.
Yeah.
I just don't see
how that's going to work. You know how it is. Back in the day, you'd go in there and you'd see the Nintendo thing, and it was impossible to turn left because the controller was broken.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, I don't know. To be honest, I don't know. So, let's talk about Valkyrie then, can you? Talk about that? Have you played that?
Yeah, okay, Valkyrie.
This comes free with the Oculus.
Yes. Well, no, it came through with the Oculus. I don't think it still does.
That was an introductory deal.
Yeah. It's a game where you are fighting in the fighters from the EVE world.
Is it the fighters?
Yeah.
The capital fighter ones.
So you're coming out of the carriers. You're a clone in there, and you are basically dogfighting in a 8-on-8, I think it is, environment in one of several arenas, effectively.
Oh, so
there's one over...
Team arena shooter, effectively.
Yeah, so it's basically one with an Amar station, planet in the background, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
It looks gorgeous.
Yeah. It has the vast wealth of EVE Online's lore and art design to draw from.
It has some wonderful moments, like when you die, your cockpit blows out and everything freezes, and that's really quite interesting. And then you wake up back in the ship.
Terrifying, Oh my God.
And you know,
the glass cracking.
It flies well, it plays well-ish. There's a couple of problems. One, you don't have proper control of the speed. You've got normal, fast and slow. So you can speed up and slow down or just go at normal.
Okay.
I'm
not sure you have control over fighter speed in EVE either. They just do their stuff.
Yeah, you have full movement. It's not an on-rails shooter, of course.
Okay, that was my worry.
Yeah, no, well,
so some of the early stuff with that Google Cardboard stuff. There was a couple of things I downloaded out of Go with. It was essentially just rail shooters. You don't control it. You're just looking around at stuff, you know, and shooting those. So you've got full movement.
And it plays well. The shooting's good. It's got this wonderful mode where you pull the left trigger, look at a target.
Yeah.
It locks on with the missile, with how many missiles are reloaded.
Okay.
And then you let go of the trigger and it fires. So you've got your normal forward-fronted firing guns.
Yeah.
And you've also got what you're looking at and missile shooting.
Okay.
Which works really well once you get the hang of it. The combat's fun. The games are really fast, and you get through them a lot. There's enough people playing to mean you always get a game at the moment.
Okay, yeah. So I was about to ask, what's the pool like? Is there any numbers of how many people are queuing, how many games are in progress?
CCP say it's the best-selling VR game ever.
Out of a field of about six in over a span of 3 weeks. Well done, them. Good.
Yeah. And I believe
they were giving it away free with the hardware.
Yeah.
So, yes, I could believe that claim, but it doesn't really mean as
much. It plays really well. It's fun. It plays well.
Yeah.
But the game is as shallow as a puddle.
So you're saying all this, and I'm just thinking dust. I'm thinking Dust.
It's going to get Dust in Space. They are going to drop it just like they dropped Dust. They're going to get bored of it and drop it. They're going to add for a little while and then get bored.
Really, it doesn't seem like CCP's main.
You've got a couple of arenas. It's not what they do. One game mode at the moment. They're going to add some more allegedly, but you play it for a while and it's always the same thing again and again.
That format continue. I mean, I suppose that's the format behind things like World of Tanks and War Thunder and World of Battleships and so
no,
on.
No, but they're larger. They're a lot larger scale and it feels a bit more tactical and more interesting.
Mm.
This just doesn't. It just feels a bit thin.
How long does the population of an online 8v8 arena game last in general terms? I mean, if we sort of tried to hook up for a game for this in a year, in 2 years, in 5 years, well, people still be playing?
The comparison is going back to Rocket League,
mm.
which is exactly the same thing. It's a 4x4 online arena combat thing. And that is still good because there's enough finesse and tactics and you can see what's going on enough in
don't
there.
Don't get me wrong, just because I didn't like it, I could absolutely see that learning to play well would be rewarded.
Yeah.
It's a game that does it's not so much the learning to play well,
it's the ease of seeing the playing well and everything.
Yeah.
It's a very easy to see game about how well you are doing and how well other people are doing.
Yes.
With Valkyrie, it's not because everyone's just a dot on the horizon up until the point when you're close enough to shoot them. And then it's a tourney battle.
Oh, right.
And it's a little hard to see what everyone else is doing. So you can't see somebody's kill.
I don't know if you ever played the Old Republic's Galactic Starfighter thing. It's essentially an 8v8 arena space dogfighter type thing with a load of asteroids in the middle and stuff. And yeah, I mean, you saw these reticles, these HUD brackets in the distance, and every so often one would come near and then you'd be dead. And sometimes you'd have fired your gun as well. But, you know, you never got any kind of sense of other ships. And I guess any kind of... I suppose it's a function of the weapon range and the speed of travel. But any kind of space dogfighty, I imagine, is just going to end up with you looking at little dots and watching them blow up.
Yeah.
No real getting in there. And well, obviously you're not going to expect melee combat, but yeah.
Yeah. So the problem is...
Quite dispassionate.
Valkyrie does not feel like a full price game. And again, they're asking for a real amount of money for it. Which feels wrong. It's just, there's not enough game there.
It's very good value for money.
No, it's an idea. It's a good idea, which plays well briefly. But it feels like, you know, the Rocket League style of level of game, nothing more.
Yeah, yeah.
And yet the
just a bit of throwaway fun, essentially.
Yeah, which you can obsess about, but you're going to drop in for an hour every so often. You're not going to be playing it every night. It
doesn't seem like a value for money on the platform either, really, if you're only using the thing for, like, 10 minutes, once every 2 weeks.
Well,
something.
That's the thing. If you're playing Euro Truck Simulator or all the racing games or Elite or Star Citizen,
you can
play it for hours upon hours upon hours. If you're flinging criminals into a police station or playing Eve Valkyrie or something, you're not. Yeah. And that's my big problem. All these things feel vastly overpriced for what they are.
I suppose what you've got to ask yourself is that if this was just on a flat screen and not with a headset at all, would I still play this game for 2 or 3 hours sitting? And a lot of these 8v8 arena games tend to just be a basic format that doesn't really support 3 hour sessions. You play a few rounds and then you move on.
Yeah. And
I suppose some people do obsess and will play for 3 or 4 hours, but I think it's quite hard to obsess that precisely and hone your obsession onto one spot for so long. Most people don't really work like that, I don't think.
Yeah, so people aren't charging £10 or £20 for these games, though. And
is this still all very early experimental stage stuff, though? I mean, is it let's wait for a year and see where we're at? Or is it let's wait for a year and see it vanish again?
Well, no,
is this 3D telly again?
Well, no, 3D telly was always doomed. Mm. This is basically wait and see what Sony do.
Yeah.
And if Sony don't pull it off, then
I got a feeling the Oculus has been sort of swept up in this massive sort of, I don't know, overhype, possibly not of its own making, but perhaps its own sales department are to blame. But I always sort of saw it as a kind of very, very specialist hobby, you know, high-end technical experiment that was kick-started and some people were interested in and would satisfy a very small number of players for a very specific sort of thing. But suddenly it's VR's the future, and I've heard this kind of story before. 3D's the future, you know, this, that and the other. And I don't know, I think it's being pushed and overrepresented in a manner that is making it unable to satisfy anyone, really.
Yeah.
I don't know, very expensive games that are very short and not that interesting and essentially are gimmickery.
Also, you know, Eve Valkyrie could be a big game, but it feels like it could be very rushed out.
Well, I think with the minimum amount. The whole other dimension there is the CCP factor. Yeah.
Well, they've been talking about, you know, they're adding in a lot interesting anti-dreadnought mode, I think it
Does
is.
Does this connect to Eve Online itself at all?
It connects to your account, maybe, if you're lucky. Mine wasn't lucky. But they never said why.
You're not actually having people flying these things around during Eve capital battles or anything like that in the same way that they said. I never even did the dust stuff even. Were people able to orbital strike dust matches from EVE Online?
Allegedly, they could do something. I lost interest way before that.
I mean, this is rather. It seems a bit typical of CCP. I can see them getting bored of it and moving on.
Yeah, they will.
You know, consolidating around their main moneymaker again very soon.
Yeah, but they're charging $60 for EVE Valkyrie, and it's not a $60 game. And it's just again and again. These games are not worth what they're charging for.
I'd like to
you compare it with non-VR games,
the
premium on them is horrific.
Yeah. Well, they're assuming that you don't care because you're spending a vast amount on the hardware.
It's not doing VR any favours by doing this.
Wow.
It is actively going to make it worse for everyone because people just aren't going to buy games.
Yeah. I can see it's going to be a problem.
Which is a shame, because when it works, it works brilliantly.
Is it aimed at everyone, or do they just not care that they're alienating most people, as long as the people with the disposable readies keep buying the stuff? Is it about whales?
Well, no, at the moment it's because it's brand new technology, brand new market, and people are willing to pay, so they are basically price gouging to get as much money as they can.
Because they know it'll die off.
Yeah,
unless they can turn it into something a bit more reasonable, a bit more sustainable.
They know what will happen. It'll die down to a point where it's found its feet.
Yeah.
And at the moment it hasn't. So
I think that point will be quite low.
Yeah.
Given all the reservations we've explored over the last couple of weeks on this show.
Eve Valkyrie, if that costs the same amount as Rocket League, perhaps that would be fine. Rocket League you get for really cheaply and is a great amount of fun.
£8 for it. It was on special, but I think it's only like £15 normally.
Yeah, £15, which is what you sort of expect for that kind of game.
Yeah.
Not the same. I could be buying GTA 5 for that money.
Yeah.
I could be buying Skyrim or any of those
things. That whole rationale applies on a much wider scale as well. I mean, you look at the Rift and you think, well, or I could just buy a really powerful Nvidia card and a massive monitor for that money and use it for everything.
Well, not really.
Well, whatever.
No, you really can't.
I don't know.
Because for the really powerful Nvidia graphics card, you're sort of starting around the price of the Rift.
All right. Well, whatever. Upgrade. There are better ways to spend the money for more gaming enjoyment, is my point.
Only if you don't want to play VR games. If you want to play VR games, then you can't beat having VR.
I suppose.
Which, you know, and that's
I don't want
thing.
VR.
Well, no, you don't want VR. That's the thing. You don't want anything, though. That's the thing.
No.
Although
everything's rubbish.
I am surprised to hear that you bought a new monitor, which is shocking.
Yeah, I bought that for Pathfinder. Not because of any gaming reasons. It was my pen and paper game. I was just going mad with too many windows open all on the same screen. It's really helped. But now I find myself in a position where I can watch YouTube while I'm gaming.
I've
never done that.
Have you started watching YouTube now?
Well, I watched Regrowth.
You watch yourself.
I learned something to apply to the Regrowth game that I was actually in at the time.
Oh,
that was very meta, actually.
I don't have to rescale your videos anymore.
Oh, yeah, they're coming in at a resolution you like now.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a bit wider than the other one.
Your 1050p monitor.
I don't know. Did the job. Yeah. And now I realise it's small, grubby and very yellow in hue. I never noticed any of that before. Although the new monitor I got has got a very, very, very weak black point. It's not really good at black.
Yeah.
It's quite lightish.
There might be a mode you can flick it into to make it better.
Yeah. Mm. Anyway, so yes, I bought a new monitor.
Yeah.
Hooray.
Yay.
I like the new monitors.
Yeah.
Might get another one. Might just have a wall of them. Like in like 80s executive corporate boardroom type things.
Oh, you never catch me doing that.
No.
No.
Hmm. So, I forgot what you were talking about.
I was ranting about VR again. And
Ethan something.
Yeah, and Eve and stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, I finished ranting about that now.
Okay, should we wrap up?
Yeah, we should wrap up.
Go on then, do the spiel.
You can go along to howtomurdertime.com where you can catch our latest episodes and our previous ones all the way back to the beginning of the Van Himlock podcast.
Ooh.
You can also go along to YouTube where you can catch the video versions of the recent stuff and our Regrowth series in Minecraft where we are currently... what's the last ones? Oh, we were moving.
Where are we up to on that?
Nether.
The Nether. Oh, wow, yes. That was good. We haven't been back.
No, we have. Are we? They haven't finished The Nether, but the ones that have gone out yet. Okay. There's the getting the Nether orbs and things. Mm.
Angry pigmen.
Angry pigmen. No catapults. Yes, you. And if you like those, give us a like and a subscribe so you get updated with them as they come out.
Mm.
And join us next time when we'll be talking about whatever it is we end up ranting about next time.
I will have played a new game by then. I've got Divinity Original Sin downloading as we speak.
Oh, good.
So I'll have something new to talk about, hopefully.
I might play one of the many other games I bought recently, which I haven't even started yet.
That's always a good way forward.
Yeah. So join us again next week for more of the same.
See you later.